how does the UEFA Champions League do it? Another night in this competition that has taken our breath away. Barcelona 3, Inter 3.
Oh my goodness gracious! Rafinha rattles one in off the underside of the crossbar and the goalkeeper's back. It's 3-3!
So much drama, so many incredible goals, a perfect clash of styles, and still the second leg to come as well. We'll review it all and look ahead to next week's action. I'm Ben Haynes, and the Champions League semi-final first legs have not disappointed. In fact, the biggest disappointment of the evening is that we can't all immediately fast forward and go straight onto the second legs of two fascinating matchups. So on Tuesday, it finished Arsenal 0, Paris Saint-Germain 1, and on Wednesday, Barcelona 3, Inter 3. I'm joined by European football expert Alvaro Romero and commentator John Bradley as we look back on what was a wonderful evening of Champions League action. John, we'll get into the match in depth shortly, but just to start, as 90 minutes of football, that was beautiful.
I think it just shows why the UEFA Champions League is the pinnacle of all football competitions, because what we've seen out there is a breathtaking 90 minutes of football between two very different sides, two contrasting styles, but have been brought together, and it's a clash of the ages. What a match we've just watched.
And Alvaro, there will be young people all over the world that have been asking their parents to stay up late so they can watch a game like that. They will be hooked on the Champions League off the back of that, won't they?
Yes, of course. I mean, this game will be in the corner of their eye forever. I mean, they will remember it, those children, because it's been beautiful. At the start of the broadcast, you said that this was a proper clash of styles, and the question was, which style is going to impose itself? Well, the scoreline was more Barcelona, okay? Inter had recorded 8 clean sheets in the Champions League. Barcelona has scored, before the game, 37 goals. At the end, it was a 3-3. But both teams must be happy with the scoreline, especially Inter, because they got this away. But the 3-3, and a really, really beautiful game tonight. I think that the quality of the goals was unbelievable, but we'll break it down now, obviously.
I can't wait to get into this game. There is so much to talk about. But for more reaction to Tuesday's semi-final, first leg between Arsenal and Paris, listen to our Tuesday night review with Chris Parrott, Phil Blacker and Kevin Hatchard. They soaked up a brilliant night of football in North London. A very different game, but a fantastic game nonetheless. On Wednesday, it was the turn of Barcelona and Inter to go head-to-head. John and Alvaro, watch the action.
Welcome to the game between the irresistible force and the immovable object. Inter very nearly finding a way through inside the first 30 seconds. They go again. Turan, goal! Incredible start with his heel, clips it beyond the goalkeeper, and Inter have stunned Barcelona inside the opening minute of this semi-final. There's four runners coming from around the penalty spot. They break and go now. The header is back across goal. Oh, it's 2-0! What a dream start this is for Inter. And it's Denzel Dumfries with the bicycle kick. Here's Lamine Yamal! That's out of this world! It's a goal out of nothing from perhaps the brightest young talent in world football. Barcelona 1, Internazionale.
Lamine Yamal, what a man, what a player.
Towards Sofia, across the face of goal! Oh, it's sensational from Barcelona. The goal is scored by Ferran Torres. They turn this game on its head. Barcelona 2, Internazionale 2. They all move now, and the man arriving puts it into the back of the net. Denzel Dumfries has 2, and Internazionale are back in front. It's Barcelona 2, Internazionale 3 in this Champions League classic. And the shot, oh my goodness gracious! Rafinha rattles one in off the underside of the crossbar and the goalkeeper's back. It's 3-3! It's an extraordinary hit by Rafinha. It's an extraordinary game. Barcelona 3, Internazionale 3. Don't let this football match ever end.
Oh, John, that's spot on. I wish it hadn't ended. It just felt like that game. We could have watched another 90 minutes of it, couldn't we?
At half time, we were like, please just play like 20 minutes injury time at the end. And then at the end, it was like the board went up for 3 minutes and we were all disappointed. I know it's one of those horrible cliches in football, but it was a game that neither side deserved to lose. Now, ultimately, come the end of the game in 6 days' time, someone's going to have to lose, and it's going to be very, very harsh on whichever team loses. But what you will say is that we are going to get one very, very good team in the final in Munich next month, because in terms of the quality on show from the players, the teams, as we say, very different in the way they play, but oof, the quality on show tonight was beyond belief at times. Inter giving up possession, Barcelona had two-thirds of the ball, but Inter will say, well, that's fine, we'll still create chances. And that's exactly what they did. They counter so well, they break so well, they use set pieces so well, and they've got the players to play that way for Simone Inzaghi. That's the recruitment model that they look for, and it's what they do. Barcelona have put their side together. A lot of players from the youth system, we know of the financial problems the club's been through in recent years, and then they've added to it as they've gradually got bigger and stronger again. And Sean of Lewandowski and a number of other players for this game, I mean, their players and their young players have really stepped forward again. Whichever side goes through is going to grace that final in Munich.
We're just watching the goals back, and it's just stunning.
Do you have a favourite?
I was thinking that they're such different goals, aren't they? Because when we were listening to your commentary, the goal for 2-2, the Barcelona goal for 2-2 was such a special team move. Mm. And then you think, how are we going to top that? And then you get that incredible strike from Rafinha. The bar's probably still shaking. The sound of the rattle of that, just incredible. So basically, I'm sitting on the fence and I'm not picking. Alvaro, what about you?
I'm going to pick the goal from Marcus Thuram.
Okay.
And I tell you why, because I think that the execution of that goal was really difficult. I mean, he almost volleyed the ball. He caught it in the air, and then Lamine Yamal's goal switched the game completely. He could have scored an even better goal in the second half, because I'm just thinking that he may have that intentionally, what he did pretty much at the end of the game. But yeah, if I have to stay with one goal, I'm going to stay with Marcus Thuram's goal for the difficulty in the execution of that, let's call it, shot.
Well, that's a great place to start, because I don't think any of us expected a start like that to the game.
No, Hansi Flick being undone by a heel flick inside the first minute of the game. Yeah. It was a great start. Obviously, Barcelona caught cold, and then they got the ball and started to move it, started to pass it, and the game developed into a pattern. And then, I mean, I think we said in commentary, Inter went downfield, they won a corner, and we said this is where Barcelona have got to be really careful now, because this is where Inter are so good. Bastoni wins a header, Denzel Dumfries with a brilliant bicycle kick, acrobatic goal, and all of a sudden it's 2-0. And then I think, had Lamine Yamal not done, well, I don't know, but he scored within 3 minutes, didn't he? And it's the most incredible goal, to run past three players and then to score off the post without any backlift whatsoever. His 100th game, 17 years old, just his talent level is obscene for where he's at and for what he was doing. Because we talked about Rafinha, who has been so good for them this year, such a good player. But he was peripheral to the game. Everything was going through Yamal. Koundé, Pedri, and they all started picking holes in the defence, and they turned it round to 2-2 with a really good team goal. Brilliant spot by Pedri, finds Rafinha, the little knock across goal, and turned home by Ferran Torres. And that's half time, and it's like, right, well, what's next in this game? And there was still so much more to come.
It was almost like watching two chess masters make their move, then hit the clock and wait for the other one to go. In that first half, we did sort of 22 minutes maybe of it playing out exactly how Inter wanted, and then the rest of the half exactly how Barca wanted. And then we got fairly similar in the second half, to the point of where at the end you just couldn't pick whose style was going to come out on top.
Yeah, I think that in the second half something changed slightly. I think that Inter started exploiting even better Barcelona's high line, and that's why they had, if not chances, yes, half chances and dangerous approaches, and also a goal disallowed. of Henry Mkhitaryan. It was a matter of inches. That goal would have counted, you know.
It
maybe
wasn't inches, it was an inch.
An inch. Literally, in the pre-VAR and pre-goal line goal technology, offside technology era, that goal may have counted. But it didn't, because it was correctly disallowed. But
and it's worth pointing out as well, the assistant flagged it as well.
Absolutely.
So, you know, what a decision, by the way.
No, but one of the keys of the game for Barcelona, it was that they managed to score a goal in the right moment, just not to let Inter's goal sink in their minds. Because, you know, Dumfries scored the second goal of Inter in the 21st minute. Lamine Yamal scored it in the 24th. That was key. That was the real switch of the game for Barcelona. And then Dumfries scored his goal, his second goal, in the 64th minute. And then Sommer, you know, an own goal in the 65th. Also, only 1 minute happened between Dumfries' goal and Sommer's own goal, and I think that was the key for Barcelona to stay in the game. It was so important.
I think it's also worth stressing, we just say that the assistant, brilliant to see the offside, but also, I mean, a game like this, which flowed so freely and was played in a really, really good spirit, needs to be refereed brilliantly as well. I thought Clement Turpin was absolutely outstanding as well, because he just said to the players, brilliant, off you go, enjoy yourselves, you know. And when he needed to have a little word with players, there was a moment where Dani Olmo, I think, was jostling inside from a corner, and he went over and almost handcuffed him and put his hands just keep your arms down. And players were talking to him, he was engaging with the players, and you felt that it was just the perfect football match. That it really was.
I think he kept the authority throughout the game, and this is very important for a referee. Just very quickly on Lamine Yamal again, I want to follow up on what you said about him. I mean, in the first half, pretty much most of the heat map of the game was on the right-hand side of Lamine Yamal. Look, during 15 or 20 years, I got used to watching Barcelona looking at that flank, because Lionel Messi was there. And that was very misleading, because football is not only that, but Messi just had such a gravity that your eyes were going there, where he was. And Barcelona, instinctively, is passing the ball to the right as well, because they know that the man who offers the solutions is Lamine Yamal, to the point that today he has scored a very similar goal to one that Messi scored against Napoli in Champions League 2020. He just faced the same type of challenges. First of all, he crashed with a player. He won that duel. And Lamine Yamal is a light boy. And then he dribbled past somebody, and he put the goal, you know, the farthest possible away from Sommer. So I'm not saying that there is a clear resemblance between Lamine Yamal and Messi, but obviously what he did to Di Marco today will be remembered, because Di Marco is one of those tough defenders, an old dog, he knows everything, and Lamine Yamal got the better of him many times.
I do just want to touch on two set pieces as well. We'll talk about the Rafinha goal again in a second, but we had mentioned at the start of the game that intercept pieces, particularly corners, were going to be crucial. The way that they counterattack to win those corners is just so impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, the breakaways that they have. I mean, even towards the last minute of the game, when Barcelona's high line seemed to be back, basically on the end of the opposition penalty area by the end of it. They were so high. And they were basically saying, they stood on halfway in the end, weren't they? And they were saying to Inter, go on then, beat our offside trap and see if, and that's where the Mkhitaryan disallowed goal comes from. There were a couple more breakaways that they nearly got in with. But Barcelona are belligerent, and they're saying, we will keep this high line because we will keep you pressed in. But in the goals that come from the set pieces come from players breaking forward. We saw Bastoni coming from centre half and getting right up. And now, Alessandro Bastoni doesn't need any encouragement to come out of defence with the ball anyway, but Barcelona will give you that encouragement, and it works so well, whether it be Di Marco on one side, Dumfries on the other side, Inzaghi's side, love playing against sides who play with high lines and breaking in down the flanks.
Just such a magnificent watch tonight. Let's get a little bit of reaction. We'll start with Henrik Mkhitaryan, who was asked what the manager said at halftime.
Well, we're confident that we can do better, and it's not easy to play against Barcelona because they are a very good team, young team, talented. They have a very good possession of the ball. They know how to play football, and we've done our best. I think we could have done a bit better, but of course it wasn't easy. So the only thing he said is keep your head up and keep doing what you're doing, because you're doing great. So it's what he said.
What a performance from Henrik Mkhitaryan tonight. And I mean, the Inter midfield, by the end of that game, the way that they were being dragged around all over the place, incredible stamina tonight.
I once stood in a mixed zone after a Champions League game and watched Henrik Mkhitaryan do 5 different interviews in 5 different languages.
That's
impressive. He's a very intelligent man, Henrik Mkhitaryan, at 36 now. And what a great career he's had. It's funny because people say it never really hit the heights that you thought it was going to hit after his Shakhtar days. He went to Dortmund, and because probably didn't work for him at Manchester United, Arsenal, like people would have expected. But 36, the longevity of it, and he's now settled into this deeper lying role, very intelligent, alongside Hakan Çalhanoğlu, still only 31, and Barella, they work so well and complement each other so well, and they're such a well-blended side. Then you've got, you know, Fratesi and those to come off the bench. Barcelona will certainly not feel that, you know, I mean, they know they've got a massive job to do next week, but they won't be taking anything for granted at all, because they know how tough it's going to be. This is a very, very, very good Inter team. It really is.
No, they are a very rocky side, and I know that they were coming at the back of some disappointing results, but they are a tough nut to crack. I think that one of the best things about Inter is that all the roles are very well defined. If you take Henrik Mkhitaryan at the age of 36 and you give him a dispersed role, he won't be able to play a full 90 minutes, because I don't think he has the energy to do that. Neither with Çalhanoğlu, neither with many players of Inter who are over 30, because Inter's average age tonight in the lineup was 30 years old. But Simone Inzaghi has done something very well with Inter. Every player knows their role very well. They play very compact. And when they spread out, it's with the wingers, who are the fastest and naturally the more energetic players. But Inter doesn't waste energy. When they stay compact, all the players have the solidarity, but also don't run a lot of meters just to catch with the balls and all that. The games never get box to box with Inter, because you will kill a footballer like Mkhitaryan. So this context is perfect for a footballer like that.
So selective in terms of the way that they counter-attack, they choose
absolutely
their times to go?
And not only that, I think that they've got different profiles, because Lautaro is totally different to Taremi. Lautaro picked an injury in the first half. Lautaro likes the ball in the space. Taremi, however, dropped deeper, and he gave the ball to Marcus Thuram. So there are different profiles to attack different type of defenses as well. So I think that Inter is a very complete side, Barcelona as well. And, you know, I find it, again, impossible to predict what's going to happen in the second leg.
We spoke about Inter set pieces. I think we have to give some credit to Barcelona for the set piece that levels the game, because Lamine Yamal won't get an assist for that. But it's a brilliant dummy that allows Rafinha to come onto the ball.
Yeah, they go to take the corner. We see a left-footed, outswinging corner coming. They're lining up in the middle. Now, they've had very little joy. We talk about how good Inter are as an offensive unit when they're from corners and free kicks in the opposition penalty area, but also they're very strong defensively. Bastoni, Acerbi, Bisek, all very, very strong in the air. Thuram, defensively, very good Inter. So to try something different, something that they probably worked on the training ground, and the corner is taken towards Yamal. The first defender runs to Yamal. He steps over the ball. Rafinha hits a ball sweetly anyway. We know all about that, but he won't catch a ball truer than he caught it. We're going to need physicists and mathematicians to work out. There is a minimal touch from Jan Sommer onto the bar. Does that then change the flight of the ball back onto the goalkeeper and make it go into the back of the net? You know, obviously scientists can work that out. He's really unlucky, is the goalkeeper. Yeah. You see it happen a lot these days. Comes back, hits him on the back of the head, goes in, it's 3-3. And again, it happens so quickly after that Inter goal. And that's what Barcelona did, didn't they?
One minute
between the goals, 3 minutes between the second goal and the first Barcelona goal. And you sort of think, had they had time just to reset themselves after that, going back in front in the game, they'd have, you know, might have seen it through to full time. I mean, it's hard to say that against the side, the quality of Barcelona.
Bizarre, isn't it, to be sitting here having seen a goalkeeper concede 3 goals and still think he's had a fantastic game. The same for Szczesny as well. I wonder what Hansi Flick made of it this evening. He no doubt would have been desperate to come out with a win, but let's get his thoughts now.
We started really not good. It was 2 goals. Oh, but we came back, and I think also the first half we played good, second half played good. It was a fantastic match for the fans, for everyone who loves football. At the end, it's the first match, the first leg. The second leg is in Milan, and we have to win it. We have to win it. There's a final before the final.
Next up, we'll take a look ahead to the semi-final second legs.
You're listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.
Paris and Arsenal we'll get into very shortly, but we're going to start with the game that we've been watching this evening. Inter and Barcelona will go head-to-head at San Siro. Inter unbeaten in their last 15 home Champions League fixtures. Alvaro, it's going to be a tough game for Barcelona. As you mentioned earlier on, a tough nut to crack, but we've seen tonight that they have the attacking talent, they have the attacking prowess to potentially find a way through.
Everyone, really. Both Inter and Barcelona. I don't know if the injuries will play a part as well. Jules Koundé is very important for Barcelona, but what about Lautaro Martinez for Inter? So hopefully they'll be fit and they'll be ready to play. Both teams have shown resilience. Barcelona has the ability to come back. This is something that normally gets associated to Real Madrid, the remontada thing and all that. But Barcelona this season, in the last four games, they trigger three comebacks against Celta, against Real Madrid and against Inter. So Inter knows that to beat Barcelona you need to score a lot of goals, because Barcelona scores a lot of goals. They have scored an average of over three goals in the Champions League per game.
And I do wonder as well, John, as we listen to Hansi Flick there talking about the first 20 minutes, how much that will play a part for him as he preps for the next leg, and how much that back end of the first half will play a part for Simone Inzaghi as well, because both will have enjoyed parts of the game tonight and both will have hated other parts of the game tonight.
Yeah, I think Hansi Flick said there, didn't he? He said that the second leg is a final, ahead of the final. And it is really, it's a one-off game now. It's 3-3. You know, there's no one needs to make a comeback. There's no away goals. It's a straight one-off game. What you'd say is that Inter at home as well this weekend as well. Play Verona in Serie A. Barcelona away
at
Valladolid. I love the way he says it compared to me. So, you know, that's got to be factored in. Valladolid is it's a journey to travel for them. And that all, you know, they'll travel the day before. They'll arrive later back. Whereas Inter, home comforts for the next few days, training on their own base, playing their game, and then getting ready straight after to play Barcelona at home. So for them, you know, will that help them in the build-up to the game? All the talk in the build-up to the game, I think that might help them, will be whether or not Lautaro Martinez will play. Mm. And I don't think you'll see them rule him out unless he has got an injury that's going to keep him out for months and months. I think that we might get a little game of kidology between now and then, because that will take the focus away from the players and maybe keep them relaxed as well, because it's such a massive one-off game.
Are Inter a different proposition at home?
Not really. No, I don't think so. I think that it's a team that finds it sometimes difficult to switch from the fourth gear to the fifth, in the sense that they seem to play always with the same rhythm, or a very similar rhythm. They keep very compact. I think that Simone Inzaghi won't be too unhappy about what happened. Yes, they conceded three goals, but the game never got box to box, and this is something that Inter always avoids. Okay, they knew that they were going to defend deep. Lamine Yamal scored a beauty, then Rafinha provoked that own goal from Sommer. But Inter and Simone Inzaghi's plan was good. I think that they should be happy about the way it went. It was just Barcelona's quality that leveled up the game. But no, Inter won't change a lot at home. I don't think so.
I almost feel at times a bit sorry for Inter fans, because they defend so brilliantly. But I reckon over the course of a game, you might see 10 or 15 last-ditch challenges, which is part of, it's almost baked into the playing style. But it must be such an incredible watch as an Inter fan.
I think that you can guarantee Simone Inzaghi is going to say to his players in the build-up to the game, they've got a league game to play first, they won't focus on this till after that. But he will say, they more than likely are going to score here. You know, Barcelona very rarely, you can shut them out. Now, if one side can shut them out normally, you'd expect it to be into their defensive record. But I think they'll be realistic and say, look, Barcelona are going to score here, so we're going to have to be really, really good in front of goal, and we've got to take our chances. What they did tonight, was they took their chances really well when they got them. They scored the three, very nearly got a fourth. And it'll be, I think that will be a lot of the focus, quality of finishing, quality on the ball when you get that opportunity in the final third, make the right decisions and get your chance. Because Barcelona will be saying, no matter what happens, we've got the quality to score no matter how many goals it takes.
Absolutely. I'm sure Inter will take great heart as well from the way that they managed to get past Bayern Munich. When Bayern scored, Inter found their way back into the game and managed to get through there. The other semi-final second leg is a battle between Paris Saint-Germain and Arsenal. This is how it unfolded in the first leg.
Kvaratskhelia, Scalia, edge of the penalty area, taking on Timber, cutting it back, and the opening goal is in from Dembele, and Paris in front with less than 3.5 minutes played. It will come all the way through, though, to Desiree. Doué, good shot, right-footed, down goes Raya to his right to make the save, and now Fabian Ruiz hits the post with the goalkeeper beaten, and it bounces out again, and now there's a flag up far side. A roar of relief, really, from David Raya and from Arsenal. Trossard tries to hold it up, Saka again, forces his way past a couple of challenges into the penalty area. Oh, delivers the cross, left-footed, and on the stretch, Gabriel Martinelli can't quite reach it in front of goal, flung himself at that. Nearly, but not quite for Arsenal, who are getting closer. Rice on the move again. It's a lovely, strong, surging run. Slips it through for Trossard. Into the penalty area. Brilliant save. Donnarumma got his left hand to it as Trossard tried to put it to his left. And that's outstanding from the goalkeeper. And they need a big ending to it if they're to go to Paris. At least back on terms. They could be two behind here because Barcola is in through the middle. And he's pulled it just a fraction wide of that far post. Huge chance for Paris to double their lead. It fell at the feet of Bradley Barcola.
Another fantastic tie. Paris' nose is in front just at the moment. But Alvaro, I think depending on which persuasion you're of, you could make an argument for both sides that they had the chances to change the narrative.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, to start with, at Arsenal ground, we have to say that Arsenal had good chances as well. They lost, yes, but Leandro Trossard had a good one, Martinelli as well. If it wasn't for Donnarumma, more goals could have happened, but on the other hand, Paris had good chances as well, and I think that Paris was half a point ahead of Arsenal in terms of ball circulation, speed of the passing and all that. Arsenal didn't have that. And yet, more or less, they stayed in the game. They only conceded one goal. They lost. But we have seen this Champions League that in the second leg, anything can happen. I know it's a cliche, but Aston Villa was about to make it against Paris. And probably Arsenal will think, OK, you know, maybe Paris was slightly better than we were, and still, we're absolutely alive in this tie.
Well, let's get to the thoughts now of Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta. He's adamant the tie isn't over.
We are half-time. Half-time, and my message has been exactly the same. Post-Real Madrid at home, 3-0. Is we have to go to Paris and win the game. And we are more than capable of doing it, because I saw two very good teams where the margins are so small, and they had efficiency in front of the goal, and their keeper as well made a difference to see the result that we've seen tonight.
I guess that's the key point there, John. Efficiency in front of goal. Who's going to take their chances on the night? It could be a couple of moments that are decided.
Yeah, what we saw with Paris in the last couple of rounds is that ability to find a goal when they really needed one, whether it be away at Liverpool or in that game against Aston Villa, the quality in front of goal. And if you focus on the game we've just watched there, the quality that Inter found against that high Barcelona defence. It's finding a way to win now. That's where we are at the stage of the competition. You've got to find a way to win. It doesn't matter how you win, you've got to find a way to win. They will know that Arsenal have the capability with the pace and the players they have on the counter-attack to score against them. So very similar to what's going to happen in the second leg is when you get a chance, you've got to take it. It's all about quality now and making the right decisions.
Absolutely. Such fine margins at this level. And Paris boss Luis Enrique is looking for that same mentality from his side again next week.
I think we need to go through that match with the same mentality, and we are going to suffer. We know that. And I hope we can, our supporters in our stadium and with our atmosphere, I think we can go through the final. That's our message, but there is still one match.
Paris taking a one-goal advantage back to Parc des Princes, then it will certainly be a fascinating encounter with such fine margins there. Back to Wednesday night's action, though. Let's hear from Inter player of the match and double goal scorer Denzel Dumfries.
I think a great corner from DiMarco. We won the duel and I was in the right place, so it was very good. I think the first goal, amazing quality of Marcus, the touch, amazing player, and I'm very happy that we scored that fast. And now we have to look forward to the next match against Verona, and after we see Barca again.
Right, let's look ahead. Two fascinating encounters to come, and I am going to put you on the spot. What are the scores going to be?
Hang on a minute. Put him on the spot first.
do you want my goal of the game first?
You go first.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you my goal of the match. I'm going to give a shout out to Dumfries because I think he won't get it. He won't get his flowers because of the other goals that have been scored.
And who's going to be in the Champions League final before we get put on the spot?
The fact that Inter are playing at San Siro, I think, makes a huge difference. And I think Paris have been so wonderful to watch this season. What do you reckon, gents?
I'm going to go for Barcelona-Paris in the final. Yeah, Luis Enrique versus Barcelona.
I think that one of the games will go to penalties.
And that's where you're leaving us.
I think one of the games will go to penalties, and I think the final will be a repeat of 2006.
You can just see all the narratives now,
Barcelona-Arsenal.
Barcelona-Arsenal.
There are just, whatever permutation it is, there are so many brilliant narratives on show. So Inter versus Barcelona, finally poised ahead of that second leg tie next Tuesday. Paris take a narrow lead against Arsenal into their second leg tie next Wednesday. Match Day Live will be on air 8:45 p.m. CEST, so that's 15 minutes ahead of kickoff. If the first legs are anything to go by, they are games you absolutely don't want to miss. And don't forget, this very podcast is available shortly after every match night of the UEFA Champions League. For now, from me, Ben Haynes, and the rest of the Match Day Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.